There are moments when your life changes. I went to Aries this week expecting she'd start her period that day and instead found her crying on the phone to her best friend. When she hung up and came to me, she said simply, with tears running over her smiling face, "I think I'm pregnant." It's my unconventional life! Pregnant! I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not when I came to die discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness and this is My Unconventional Life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way it is kind of a personal ad. But most of all, it's about navigating the treacherous waters of love, sex, and relationships in 2017. Sponsored by absolutely no one. Every week, I detail my own journey and discuss my own untraditional views and aspirations in that world. Whatever the topic, whoever the guest, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in 2017? So much to say. Let's get started. I just feel that my emotions and thoughts are changing and flowing so quickly right now that it's rather unsettling. The exhilaration and excitement of finding out Aries was pregnant quickly and completely surprisingly seemed to dissipate as the week went on. I think because other than the test she took, she doesn't look or feel pregnant. And the thing I mentioned above about all the new emotions and thoughts that have been racing through my head outside of our parenting partnership relationship. Because the romantic relationship absolutely makes things more difficult emotionally. Not that that's a reason to regret it or change it. But I actually wrote the first draft of this week's monologue for about half an hour before I even remembered that I hadn't mentioned Eri got pregnant. That's how quickly my life seems to be changing. Let's be clear though, as far as being a parent goes, I couldn't be happier and more excited to have a child with Eri. I have no doubts, I am focused, and I'm going to be the most devoted, hard-working, kind, and loving dad I possibly can be. And you know the funny thing? The moment Eri told me she was pregnant, all the conflicts that I'd been having about being monogamous just completely disappeared, and it wasn't even important. A total non-factor. But then, when I mentioned to Eri that night how it made any conversations about a threesome or being non-monogamous now kind of redundant, she said, "Why?" And I thought, I don't know. I'm confused. And it got me starting thinking again. And it's these thoughts, outside of being a parent with Eri, which have really taken up my mental space in the last few days. I met up with Denise for a coffee this week. I met her originally at a poly potluck discussion group, and our friendship has grown over the last year to where a few months ago she was the last person I made out with before deciding to be monogamous with Eri while we're, well, now are having a kid. Denise was as fun, kind and caring as always, and I'm still attracted to her, of course, but truly am okay just being platonic friends. Like I've always said, I don't need to have sex with a girl or even make out with her. Just spending time and chatting and seeing her smile, that's enough. I can still feel a connection and attraction without having to be physical. Like with some of my other fwobs that I've never been physically intimate with. And it doesn't take anything away from my feelings or relationship with Eri. I'm no less likely to want to be with her. Actually more. That's the irony, isn't it? Being monogamous and spending so much time together trying to build our core relationship in some ways actually works in the opposite direction. Denise teared up when I told her about Eri being pregnant. I haven't told a lot of people, so consider yourselves lucky. When I caught Denise up on all my feelings over the last month or so since I'd last seen her, she didn't make any judgments and she was objective. And she said how it seemed that we were trying to avoid any negative feelings like jealousy because they were icky I remember talking before on this podcast, months ago, about jealousy and about how Eri and I do feel it, but we sit with it and let it breathe and then it dissipates. But we don't change our lives simply to avoid it. When, of course, that seems to be what we've done. I guess the question is, how detrimental to our relationship is that jealousy? Or just the simple fact of being with anyone else, for that matter. I don't know all the answers. I'm just trying to find my place in the world to be happy and authentic and make my portion of the world a better place. Anyway, Denise mentioned how in her early 20s, she was going on a trip for a few months and her girlfriend at the time, who she was totally in love with, had told her to be free and have fun on the trip. And that meant be free to do whatever she wanted with anyone else. And she told me that when she told her that, it made her love her that much more. And she didn't even want to do anything with anyone else necessarily. And it reminded me when Eri said the same thing to me about having to be myself and be open. And to be fair, she's never taken it back. She's never told or even asked me to stop seeing anyone else. And in fact, has actually said, just do what makes you happy. But I asked her how she felt. And she told me, if I was with someone else, she'd feel stressed and anxious. And I don't want that. So perhaps, again, there's something to holding back your feelings sometimes. Maybe she'd have been okay if I hadn't asked her to think about it. Or, on the other side, perhaps eventually it could have swollen up inside her and exploded. But maybe it is sometimes better to withhold some of your thoughts and not overanalyze things. Just be present and exist. Perhaps it was me making her open up her thoughts so much that hurt our relationship. Ugh, I don't know. It's fucking exhausting. The bigger thing I realized this week, though, is that it's not about being monogamous or not. It's about just making a decision and then letting it go. It's the constant second-guessing and doubts that really drain you of your energy. And it's totally unattractive to a partner. Make a decision and move on. Then readdress at some point in the future if necessary. And of course, when I made this decision, Eri told me that night that she felt I wasn't happy and that maybe I should date other people. I told her about my decision and that I wasn't thinking about that right now. I was focused on being a parent. I wasn't really concerned about going on dates with new people anyway. I would have just continued the relationships I had already. Then, at the gym the next day, I imagined sometime in the future, after we'd had kids, Eri having a boyfriend. A nice guy who'd treat her well, take her out to give her a break from parenting, and then she'd come back to us, full of love and excitement. And I didn't feel jealousy. I actually felt compersion. Feeling joy for someone that you love experiencing pleasure. Again, that's where this really goes. As I wrote before, opening up really comes down to me being comfortable with her seeing other people too. I went to a poly cocktail night in Hollywood this week. It was fun, but I didn't talk to anyone new and spent most of the night talking to Rachel and her date about my current situation and their experiences in non-monogamy, which was nonetheless entertaining and engaging. And I came out of it with the notion that these things take time and there's no need to rush into opening up. And when and if we do, we should be prepared for a lot of hard emotions and conversations. I saw Melissa and Wayne there too briefly, which was awesome. Apparently, they're not dating independently anymore. Wayne has some casual sex on the side, and they do some minimal swing stuff together, but seem to be further away from the idea of fully opening up, but just as happy and devoted and content as ever. We met up again for coffee the next night and had a great chat. They told me they always take a 2-year hiatus from being non-monogamous while she was pregnant and nursing. And they told me more details about swing clubs and their first swing experience with a couple that they actually weren't even attracted to, the memory of which they still find amusing and fun. And it made me think. Actually, a few things this week made me think. Perhaps I do take sex too seriously. I'm reading a book that Venus lent me called The Anatomy of Love. Really interesting, fascinating read. And it details the motivations behind love and its various stages. The first of which is called the infatuation stage. And I realized that's where Eri and I are. And it's why we're having all these confusing, conflicted, anxious feelings, which are nonetheless perfectly natural, so I shouldn't be so concerned. It's said that the stage passes in 6 months to 3 years, to be replaced by the attachment phase, where the initial sexual spark and excitement and anxiety dissipates and is replaced with a comfortable feeling of wanting to be around that person. I'm not sure how long that stage lasts, but bottom line is, feelings do change, and you can't fight that. You've got to accept that life has a natural journey, and the more you fight it, the more you suffer. So yeah, there you go. Quite a week. I'm going to be a dad. Yay! There's been no comments or feedback to myunconventionallife2016@gmail.com since I mentioned it last week, Tusk Tusk. Now I can see on the podcast hosting site that people are listening, about 100 a week, but how invested they really are, or what effect doing this podcast has on people, I'm really not sure. Plus, I'm running out of people to interview too, so this might just become a 15-minute-a-week monologue thing. Let me know what you think on all aspects. Send me an email. myunconventionallife2016@gmail.com. Bottom line is, my life is going to change considerably. There's no reason this podcast shouldn't too. The interview this week, then, is the third and final part of my interview with Melissa and Wayne. You've heard about them before. You've heard about them this week. I think they are a wonderful couple and have so much to share. So let's get to it.
I realized that I think in my head, again, I had this idea of what libido should look like, of what my sexuality should look like, you know, just seeing other people, or at least what I thought I knew of them. And just realizing that it can't be fit into a little box, you know? Mm. And I think another thing that we realized about ourselves is that we looked at sex and sexuality different. And I think for Wayne, it was very much sex, physical intercourse, orgasming, like, you know? And, you know, for me, I realized that it wasn't like that.
Right.
And that I could be okay with just touch and, I don't know, just flirting and that thing, you know, conversation, all of that stuff, and different ways of, you know, having sex. And and it sounds so simple and like, yeah, duh, but it really was impactful for me, like, to realize and figure that out for myself.
So what does that mean in terms of you opening up?
So what does that mean?
Yeah.
So I guess that means that kind of makes our individual dating a little bit more complicated and scarier, because for Wayne it was very straightforward. He'd go out on a date. It was like, okay, he's going out on a date. He's gonna hook up with somebody. Mm-hmm. He's gonna come back home. It was okay. And he wouldn't even consider it a date. It was like he's meeting up with someone. You know,
how did that work?
I tried to be as honest as possible, because I want to avoid any emotional connection like that. I wouldn't want to bring anything back home to where we have somebody brings problems to us because they're feeling a certain way, they've fallen in love, whatever.
Yeah.
Because that's not, I'm not open for that.
Right.
And so I'm pretty upfront and honest and say, hey, look.
So how do you meet people in that regard?
Just because when ways, I was
through other friends,
through friends or
a little bit.
Facebook friends or whatever.
Facebook group.
So, you know, so it allows me a space to be honest.
So within the non-monogamous community. Then.
Right, exactly. The non-monogamous community.
That makes sense now.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Because going into the monogamous community.
Kind of.
That would be, I believe that would bring a lot of complications.
More problematic. Could probably,
yes. Yeah. Yes, for sure. Yeah.
Right.
So for Wayne, I think it was much easier than when it was like, okay, I'm curious now and I'm ready. Because at first I was not interested. I was like, I couldn't even see myself going on a date with a person like
right.
that. I couldn't even fathom that thought. Like, there's no way I'm going to be comfortable with that.
Yeah.
You know, and then somebody came up. It was somebody that I initially was networking with. And it just, it kind of started off on like an intellectual thing. And, you know, we were kind of just vibing off each other because he's a therapist and just it was like that kind of connection there.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, I think for Wayne, it was, I don't know, it started to feel more scary or difficult because it wasn't just like, hey, I'm going to go have sex with somebody. I'm going to come back home.
Right.
It was like, I'm going on a date. I'm having, it's like intimate or we're having conversation, we're sharing. It was just very much more.
Yeah. Fires that jealousy switch more and you feel more vulnerable because you could potentially lose that connection.
Right. And then I think his concern was, okay, and then when she finally is ready to have sex with him, it's like damn near a relationship because, you know, they have like either emotional or...
Which is a fair point.
Psychological connection with each other. Now they're going to have sex. And then, I mean...
See, you know what's so funny is like with Eri, when I think about her being with someone else... I'd be way more comfortable if it was in like a loving, meaningful relationship than if it was just some guy that like was just fucking her.
Yeah.
And I think it is, I talked to a friend today about this exact thing because her husband feels the same way that if it's a loving, meaningful relationship, you still see your wife in this sort of beautiful way. She's a goddess and she's expressing her sexuality, whereas if it's just sex, there's some guy who's fucking her. You know what I mean? You feel like, oh, somehow he's abusing her.
Wayne definitely still feels that way. I guess what I was expressing was that I know initially that part was difficult for him.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Right. So ideally,
mm-hmm.
I always like for us to go out and enjoy things together.
Right.
Like, it wasn't my first choice to go date out on my own or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't. So I was like, hey, Melissa, you know.
I'm, oh, wow.
Like, yeah, it wasn't that. So it was kind of a thing like that, you know, where we weren't doing anything. It was kind of more so like, you know, she's feeling bad for me.
Yeah. I think once, what you're saying, like once I woke up libido-wise, you're like, okay, let's go back to it together. But it didn't happen that way.
Yes.
Okay.
It was like, oh, okay. Oh, I'd like to go on a date too now.
Right. And so, so again, I met Melissa at a young age, so I feel as though she does not have a lot of experience. That's not a bad thing, you know. So then I start to become this overbearing, overprotective person. Like, well, you know, gotta be careful of this. Gotta watch out for this because you know guys are like this. And she's she's like, Wayne, I know these things. And I was like, but how do you know these things? Have you ever experienced them before? You ever dealt with them before? You know, so it becomes that. And so, and when we had a conversation, I kind of started feeling myself becoming that way, which is unfair because I do want her to have experiences and I do want her to experience that, because she brought up a very good point. I used to always feel like she becomes uncomfortable when dealing with like her father, right? Before, and when we first got together, or her ex-boyfriend at the time.
Yeah.
And so she brought it to my attention that, you know, I get uncomfortable sometimes when I have to deal with men on my own. And so I was like, well, okay, well then how am I supposed to trust you in dealing with a man on your own if you get uncomfortable dealing with...
But in his mind, it's like so, it's like danger, you know? And then, and in my mind, it's like, okay,
been around guys so much of our life, and there are some awful guys around who will lie, who will fucking try and fuck you for whatever, they'll tell you whatever the fuck they think you want to hear so they can fuck you and never call you again.
Right.
But on the flip side, there are some fucking terrible women in the world as who will do the exact same thing. Yeah. So perhaps I'm being a little misogynistic by feeling that way. You know, maybe I need to get up with the new millennium and say that there are bad people on both sides of this equation.
Would you feel more comfortable if I had this experience that you say, I don't know that you would.
No, that's what I was about to say. I was about to say, so after her and I spoke, and she really broke it down to me to where I could understand her perspective and where she's coming from, I totally got it. She was like, I enjoy flirting. I enjoy that. And I'm so okay with that. Like, okay. My concern was because I was feeling, if our sex life is a roller coaster, whatever, like, how am I supposed to feel comfortable if somebody else come in and be like, hey, you know, I met you. We have
And I told him, okay, so then let me see you, like, once every 2 months. And I'd jump your bones too.
And I get it, you know.
That's true.
But I understand that feeling. And again, I think that we were kind of missing each other too.
We definitely were.
You know, what is connection? What is sexuality? Right. How do we connect with each other? Is it sex? What other ways do we connect with each other?
Mm.
And yeah, I think that's kind of what keeps me going now. So something that I learned from somebody, it was like keeping that connection, that flow, that love going no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter what we go through.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the past I tend to distance myself. But now it's like no matter what we go through, there's some way that I want to stay connected to you. And maybe it might not be sex. Right. And I might tell you that. I might say like, tonight I'm really not in the mood, but I really do want to be connected to you. How else can we connect?
Right.
You know, can I hold your hand or something like that? Yeah, and just being vulnerable and really saying that.
Yeah. And going through these experiences the past couple years or months, whatever, we picked up a whole bunch of new tools. For example, what she just said, is the whole connection thing. Like before we would kind of like say it, be in a disagreement or whatever, and we would be in our feelings, and feeling emotional or whatever. And so we would kind of disconnect from one another.
Mm.
You know, we wouldn't, it would kind of be kind of a little tension. But now we can be in disagreement, we can have some tension, whatever, but at the end of the day, we know that we're not enemies. We're not, we're not against one another. Yes. And so, you know, we can become vulnerable and just like, just give her a hug or she gives me a hug and we just embrace or whatever. And that usually settles down a lot of the feelings that you have, you know, and that's something that we started doing and it worked out well for us. And, you know, I can be vulnerable because I used to allow my ego to ruin a lot of things. And now I'd be like, look, I was feeling this way, you know, and I realize it. And I can realize now my feelings and my emotions.
Yeah, self-aware.
I'll be like, oh yeah, for sure. And I'll be like, hey, I know I was wrong. I was feeling a certain way and I took it out on you or I came across a certain way and I'm so sorry. And, you know, that's not what I meant. And I'll come back and I'll tell her what I mean in the real sense of it, and the truth. And she totally gets it and she does the same thing. You know, we just try to really see the other person's perspective and try to
empathy.
Yes.
That's what they say is super important. Yeah. So,
and she always says that she wants me to be happy. She just wants me, and I want her to be happy as well. But you know, sometimes it doesn't coincide with what we want, and so it's kind of it becomes difficult sometimes. And
sure.
But at the same time, we have to put those feelings aside sometimes, and still be okay with the other person because we're individuals within a relationship, but we are still together, so
The idea of having this sort of relationship with Eri is so exciting to me, just to see two human beings who can connect on this level and work through these difficult patches of their life. It's like, because it's not the relationship that you ever imagined watching Disney growing up.
Not at all.
But in a way, it's better. In a way, it's more profound because it's more authentic, perhaps, I mean, we are complex, difficult creatures. And the fact that you can find one other person that you manage to sort of muddle through with, whether it's a monogamous relationship or a non-monogamous relationship, I don't think is really that important necessarily. It's you should structure a relationship as works for the two individuals involved, And I'm hoping that me and Eri can really do that and sort of move forward and have a wonderful life together, right? Yeah. I mean, what would you say if you had to sort of give us advice at this stage, knowing where we are 6 months in? She may be pregnant, but if she's not, we're going to try hard for the next however long it takes. Is there anything? I mean, you saw us together as well, right? Harry,
I guess what you say, kind of these thoughts that you have and these concerns, like I don't feel that, like
the jealousy side of things.
I don't feel that from you guys, but of course we don't see you, but I just,
well, see, the difference is though, I think I feel that way and I don't act on it. Like when I'm out with her and I'm feeling jealous, I won't hold her like this, because some people do, right? Mm. They have to put their arm around their girlfriend. So everybody, if there's any guy in there, they know that she's with me. I'm not like that. Yeah. I just tell her, I say, I'm having these feelings and they're strong and they're powerful and it's scary as fuck, because you feel vulnerable, you know? Like,
that's pretty good.
She went out and had dinner with her ex-boyfriend tonight. And I was doing my best to like work and write and do anything I possibly could, but my mind just kept going to it, you know? I don't know if I told you this or not, or maybe I didn't. We went to England and on the way back, we were in the British Airways lounge and I sat down to eat some food. She said, I'm going to get a drink. And she went to get a drink. And then 10 minutes passed, 15 minutes passed, and she didn't come back. Now, a rational person would go, maybe she's found some food. Maybe she's talking to somebody. My first thought was she'd met a guy and she's fucking him in the toilets now. Like, and I was like, what the fuck? Where does this come from? You know, like this insanity. And I still feel it. You just worst case scenario, which is why I want to know everything. You know, like if she makes out with someone, if she does anything with anybody else. And she said she pretty much doesn't have that desire to do it anyway. And it sort of seems to have naturally gone in a more of a monogamous direction. But I want to know about emotions. I want to know, how do you feel? Like, you know, I would love, and you tell me, because you guys are way more experienced, would it be a good idea to know everybody that she's currently talking to who she might be interested in a romantic nature, and details of how that is, and vice versa as well? Because I would kind of love that, because to know them by name, to know what their relationships is, and to know how she feels towards them, you have the truth, you have the reality of it, and it's never as bad as you fear. She's not meeting somebody and fucking them in a toilet in British Airways lounge.
Yeah.
She might have known this guy for a while and really have a connection, and they've shared things and really likes him as a human being and might be interested in pursuing some kind of relationship, maybe not. But if I don't know any of that stuff, my fucking jealous mind just goes, worst case scenario, 17 guys in a circle.
We're not experienced in that either. We're working through that.
Actually, how does that work?
Well, I don't see anything wrong with that, with knowing. Okay. I think honestly, honesty and openness is fine for me. Like, I try to tell her everything. If I have a friend that I'm talking to or whatever, you know, I'll be like, hey, so this is new. This is anything significant come up or change or anything, I'll let her know, whatever. And so now we've actually come to where, you know, we're like, look, if we were to, say, meet somebody we want to hang out with in any capacity or whatever, you know what I'm saying, we would both should probably meet this person so we can both feel comfortable with.
I think at first I was like, I don't need to meet anybody. I don't, you know, like, you can tell me about stuff if you want to, but I just wasn't necessarily needing to know all of that information.
Right.
You know, and I think after our most recent ordeal that we had told you about over coffee, I think this is, you brought that up about us kind of dating individually.
Yeah.
And kind of the process that we went through with that, we realized that, oh no, you know, we actually would like to meet some, meet,
so we can feel comfortable,
just know about changes. Yeah. But I don't know. I think it's, in terms of advice, I mean, I don't really like ever, I don't feel comfortable giving advice.
Mm.
Even before I started training as a therapist, like I mean, going to school for therapy.
Yeah.
But what I can say for me is that what I've learned for myself is to not either try to fix or avoid whatever I'm feeling and feel it, you know.
Live in it, yeah.
Live in it, feel it. And I don't necessarily work to fix it, and I don't necessarily work to get rid of it. And I think that really helps me. I know that maybe that's not enough, but that really helps me. Just giving myself the permission and the space to feel whatever I'm feeling. And sometimes it just kind of resolves on its own, and I don't have to go through this whole, you know, ordeal and processing with Wayne.
Right.
Because I think it kind of starts out as one thing, and then I realize it's actually something else. You know, it starts out as like, oh, I'm irritated and I'm upset and angry, but then it's really that, oh, well, it's just because I'm sad or because I'm afraid to lose you or afraid, to, you know, whatever. Yeah. So just kind of go through that.
That makes sense,
and it's
right.
not a bad thing.
Yeah, and for me, it's more like now I used to feel bad for bringing up how I felt because I felt like a hypocrite almost. Like, I'm allowed to do these things, but I feel some type of way if she does this.
Right.
So for the longest time, I would just hold on to it and it just fester and build in me until finally I either get frustrated or just kind of like spill it all out.
Mm.
So now I just talk to her now. If I'm feeling this type of way, I just say, hey, look, this is what I'm feeling.
And yeah.
I don't try to hold it anymore.
Good.
I don't try to deal with it myself because, and a lot of times when we, after we talk about it, I feel a lot better anyways.
Right.
You know,
always,
she helps, she puts me at ease. You know, when we talk about things and it's like, Wayne, it's not what you think. You know, it's like, I'm like, okay.
Mm. And then it's, what do you always say? Rinse,
wash, rinse,
wash, repeat.
Repeat.
Yeah. Like, so there is no magic for, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that there really is a magical thing, you know? It's just like, we just keep going and we keep trying it and we keep at it. And we're up late as heck sometimes talking and then, you know, sometimes we're not. So it's just, just keep at it.
Right,
I don't know.
Right. So I guess one other question that I'd have is, having kids, how open do you want to be to your kids, and more importantly, to other parents of your kids' friends and stuff like that? Like, is that... Oh, there's a story there.
I have to laugh at that because, I'll let her tell the story, but she came back home one day and said, hey, so the our kids'
friends'
parents
know
about us.
It's
like, what? How did that happen? How do they know about us?
I think I just tend to find like-minded people, and then we just tend to gravitate and find. And then
she found other parents who were the same.
No, not necessarily. Just kind of like
they would love
intrigued
to be able
by
to,
it, and you know, and
they loved the idea. They loved the idea.
They were understanding of it.
Yes,
very understanding of it. Very open about it.
Well, that's great.
And not they. It wasn't necessarily their relationship. But
so we
have like a lot of our kids' friends' parents. Do know about us, and
and they're understanding.
His,
my
oldest family,
son, my oldest son
knows.
My father knows. My brother knows. My sister knows. Yeah, and we tend to have honest conversations with our kids. We are really honest with our kids.
Age appropriate.
Yes,
I guess, and then it's not necessarily specific, but we just talk in general. So to them, it's, you know, we've talked about, hey, what would it be like? What would you think it'd be like to live with other families? Like, you know, or I don't know that it's like the idea of it for us specifically might be kind of shocking eventually, but I'm saying just in general, the idea of somebody loving more than one person, I don't think is a shock to them.
Yeah, we've had those conversations with them. We've had a conversation that, you know, having more than one mom type figure or father type figure.
And to them it was like, that's cool. Like, they would love, you know.
It's funny. One of the very first people I ever interviewed on this podcast, her first idea that non-monogamy might even be a thing was when her daughter came to her and said, I've got two boyfriends at school. Why do I have to choose one of them?
Well,
and she couldn't really find a logical reason other than saying, well, that's just society. You just have to. And that sort of opened her mind to it. And I think kids are way more able to understand non-monogamy than adults are. I think that could point to it being a societal structure that comes into being that isn't truly intrinsically who we are.
That's what I believe. I believe that on many different levels and for many reasons. I feel like it tends to cause people anxiety, stress, depression. Because you know, you talk to people who are in a monogamous relationship, and a lot of times you hear it, like, oh my God, I can't believe that. I love my wife or husband so much, but I'm attracted to this person. I'm the worst person in the world. That doesn't make you a bad person.
Yeah.
You know, just because you're attracted to somebody else. But people beat themselves up about stuff like that.
Right.
You know, they, you know, have a lot of anxiety because they feel like, oh my God, I flirted, or I allowed somebody to flirt with me, and I just feel like it's just, but, and that's not to say it doesn't happen in non-monogamous relationships as well, but, you know.
So in terms of our kids, we haven't really discussed exactly how we plan what we're going to do. We don't know. I may freak out later and say, like, no, they don't know anything about us. But like I said, we talk in general, generalities to them. And so
I think we'll be honest with them. If they ever came to us and asked us, we would definitely be honest and tell them the truth. We wouldn't try to lie to them because we don't do that. So, after seeing my oldest son, and he came to live with us when he was 11, I've had many conversations with him over the years.
Yeah.
And so by the time I told him, he was so ready. And I believe that how we are. She's helped me become such a better communicator.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that how we speaking to them now and just giving them information, I think they'll be totally fine.
Right.
And I plan to, you know, I plan to have that highlighted in my work. And so I think it just kind of...
Everybody's going to know.
Yeah. Right.
I think it'll just kind of naturally come out. It'll just happen. So.
Yeah. It's a wonderful thing. It's fantastic. Yeah. So...
Because eventually I told her she would possibly be doing speaking at universities and writing books.
He's already
and,
scheduling scheduling me.
He's planning his retirement, right? Well, that's great. Yeah. Well, listen, guys. I mean, thank you so much for coming on here and talking and sort of being open and sharing your experiences. You know, I really do think you guys are a great inspiration, you know. So
thank you. I feel like there's so much between us to put it all in just, you know, 40 minutes or an hour, it's hard, you know, and there's so much I feel like we want to share.
Well, I felt, I'm happy that we did it because I felt a little anxiety before I came. And so, you know, because I was like, what are we going to talk about?
Right. Is there anything you haven't talked about that really springs to mind that you want to talk about? Or?
There's so much out there. But I feel like we covered a lot, but there's so much out there. My whole thing was that I hope people don't view us in a negative way. Because, you know, I know that there's negative things that can be taken from because it's, like you said, societal views.
Yep.
But I feel as though we know a lot of people, and we know a lot of people in relationships, and I feel as though that a lot of people, even people who don't know about us, look at us, and they feel like we have a pretty good relationship. They see us with our kids and with each other and everything, and I feel as though we have a good relationship, a healthy relationship,
right.
As healthy as possible, you know, to be.
We had this conversation in the car. I was like, don't say we're in a good relationship or a healthy relationship. That's subjective. Like, don't say that.
It is
like,
subjective, but.
Oh my gosh, I hear what he's saying, I love him for it.
If we have references. We have references. People can say, hey, they can say what they think of us, but
I mean,
I really just wanted to say we're just a real couple, and I wanted to share both our challenges and our joys because it's both of them, and I think both of them really make who we are, and it's not just the joys.
The only thing I always tell people when they ask about relationships and how do we sustain it for, you know, so long, with it, I always tell them that I feel as though it's work every day. It's work, a lot of work every day, constant communication, constant checking in, just checking on one another, making sure one another's okay, and it's work. And if you're not willing and able to put that work in, then you're not going to have a successful relationship. You know? That's all I can say. It's hard sometimes.
Also, a little more simple. It's kind of just allowing it. I know it's just might sound crazy, but like just really allowing it. We talk about the connection and the flow to just happen. I mean, that's not work. That's just like we just allowing it to be. I think if we're not resisting, we're not defending, we're not all of this stuff. We're just kind of just being vulnerable, allowing to be. Right. We're opening to connection. And
well, the work comes in when we have trying times, or we going through something. That's when the work comes in, you know, because now we have to become vulnerable. We have to be open and let our defenses down. And, you know, it's just hard sometimes, you know, because when you're in it, you're in it, and you don't see yourself.
You can't step back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You don't have that sort of viewpoint. Yeah. But I don't think you've got anything to worry about. Like, the reason I asked you on here is just from seeing you guys together, you can just see how comfortable you are and see how much you're in love. And I think it will come across just from your voices as well, you know. So,
well, thank you for having us.
Yes,
of course. Fantastic.
I'm happy we did it. Yeah.
Same here.
Well, great. I hope you'll listen to it and enjoy
for sure.
it. And,
oh, we're definitely going to listen to it.
Well, I'm going to listen.
We're going to critique ourselves.
let's keep in touch. I'm sure I'm going to see you guys around anyway, but I'll probably need plenty of advice moving forward with being a parent and whatever else as well. So
yeah, I don't know. I feel it's good.
Yeah,
it's going to be good.
Yeah, I definitely feel like you got it.
Yeah?
It's like I told you before, just to listen to you before and talk to you, I felt like man, I really like Nigel. Like I just hear what you say, and I just listen to you speak sometimes, and I was just like, man, he got it. That's why the two times that I've been in a group with you, and I've heard you speak, and I hear other people say something, you'll be like, and I'll be like, I'm glad he said it. Like, I wanted to say it. Like man, so I feel like you get it. For sure.
Let's hope so. All right, guys. All right. Well, thank you again. God bless.
Thank you.
Cheers.
That was Melissa and Wayne. Absolutely love them. Next week, a new interview with Rachel Hope. She was one of the earlier guests on the show and truly one of the most valuable, beautiful friends that I have in the world. And so much has happened since I first interviewed her that I wanted to have her on the show again. And she talks about so many great things, some of which are way more relevant to me now that it looks like I'm actually going to have a kid.
I taught my kids to really tune in with their own gut, stay inside themselves. Don't be seduced by society's pressure for them to be nice and be congenial, be pleasant, especially girls, especially yeah. good-looking girls.
Right.
That you should be quiet and pleasing and nice. So I guess a really empowered woman, a empowered young woman who believes that her instincts, what she sees, what she feels, and what she knows, and how she expresses herself is valuable, and that she does not need to comply with expectations of being cute little girl.
Yeah.
And override that, which is what a lot of kids do and get themselves into trouble, and they get groomed.
I will see you next week. Well, that is it. Another week on this earth, another blessing. Thank you for listening and being part of my journey. Drop me a line if you have a comment or question, or if you think you know someone who'd be a good parenting partner for me. If you like the show, help spread the word, write a review, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher so you don't miss an episode. I will be back next week, but until then, wherever you are and whoever you're with, be kind and happy. Let love rule.